Welcome to Uplifting News. I'm your host, Sharon Carson, and today we'll be speaking to a guest about the triumph stories and the plight of homelessness. My guest today is Renetta Cheston. Renetta, please explain or just tell us the name of your organization.
Yes, the name of my organization is Refuge Women's Transition Center.
Awesome. Well, wonderful. We're happy to have you here today.
Well, thank you for having me. And this is my contact information.
Man, I wish I could reach through and get it. I thank you. Oh, wow. Okay, this is awesome. Renetta Cheston.
Found my contact information.
Okay.
My nonprofit began in 2005, 2006. Mm-hmm. Kind of the end of 2005, beginning of 2006. I was running into a lot of, first of all, I'm an Army veteran.
Okay.
And I've been homeless before.
Mm-hmm.
So my daughter was, this is my granddaughter, but my daughter was 2 years old, and we found ourselves homeless right after I got out of the military. And I wasn't expecting that, so I decided once I was no longer homeless, I was going to pay it forward. And so I began to take in single mothers. That was my heart, single mothers who have found themselves homeless for whatever reason. Mm-hmm. I'm not the one to judge, because also I was a single mom who was homeless, so I wasn't going to judge, because you never know what caused them to be that way. It could be just one paycheck away from homelessness, and you lose your job, or you go through a divorce, or there's so many different things. There's so many different things. You go to the doctor, and you got to deal with doctor bills, and before you know it, now all of a sudden you don't have any place to live, because you have to make a decision. Am I going to get these cancer treatments, or am I going to pay my mortgage, or am I going to get these cancer treatments, or am I going to pay my rent? So you have to make a decision, and life is sometimes more important at the time than the roof over your head, and you're thinking, oh, I could do this, and I can catch back up. But little do you know, you get caught so far behind, and then you're trying to catch back up. And unfortunately, people don't help the way they used to. So, you know, the word community is not like it used to be. We used to go out of our way in the United States for people, and now it's more hardened hearts now. So they need to see receipts and all of what you're doing to prove what you're doing, because there've been so many scammers, there've been so many liars. It just, the list goes on and on. So I began to do it in my home.
Okay.
And I would bring single mothers in, and I learned some valuable lessons. I learned some lessons to go with me forever.
Right.
Some people don't want to be helped. Some people want you to take care of their every beck and call.
Right, right, wow.
They don't want the help. They want you to do everything for them. And I learned that.
Okay.
And it's like, I can help you. I said, I've been in a position where you are. Mm-hmm. I can help you, but you have to also be willing to help yourself and your children.
Right. Absolutely.
But not everybody's in that standpoint. Some people want you to do everything.
Mm-hmm.
And I have some amazing stories where things didn't go out well. I have some amazing stories where things went awesome. And so I started with single parents, single moms, and that went well. Some did well and some didn't. Some blamed me for their failure, because, you know, that's what you do when you refuse to change. You blame others for your failure. But when I wrote down why things didn't work out for them, they had to look at themselves. They had an opportunity to stay with me, and the only thing they had to pay was $250 to $350.
Right.
And that was basically to cover extra utilities, extra food. I didn't ask them for rent. I just asked them to cover for extra water, extra, you know, electric, and extra food in the house. That's all I asked for, to make sure I had enough food for everyone in the house. And some could even do that.
Wow.
They would come up every month. I don't have this. I don't have that. And I'm like, you can't do this and stay in this transition center and think this is a place for you to transition back to your own feet.
Right.
But you refusing to change. And I say, if you refuse to change, you're going to be homeless forever. You can't bounce from house to house, from person to person, family member to family member, sleeping on someone's couch.
Right.
Because eventually you're going to lose yourself. And when you lose yourself respect, you lose yourself love.
Absolutely.
And I began to show them how to do self-love tactics such as facials. Mm-hmm. I would buy like fingernail polish. Of course, it was just women I was having in my house because I was a single mom.
Right.
Now, on the other end, when I got married, I changed it from single mothers. No, ma'am. I changed it from single mothers and started dealing with teenage girls. Because
awesome.
That was much easier because it's hard to have women in your house when you're married.
Right.
So I switched it to teenage girls, and that went very well. They, there was a lot of great stories that came out of that. A lot of those girls now are entrepreneurs.
Wow.
A few refused to change as well.
Mm-hmm.
And a few of those ended up in prison. That was out of my scope.
Mm-hmm.
I kept trying to mentor them, but because of house situations and how they were being raised, they chose to go and to get into gangs, and I was doing everything to prevent the gang. But again, you can't make someone change. Three of the girls that was in the group, they are now entrepreneurs. One of the girls is in Mississippi. One is in Savannah. Mm-hmm. One is in Washington, D.C. Mm-hmm. And each one of them are entrepreneurs. They chose to go entrepreneur route.
Mm-hmm.
At first, they worked with people, worked with personnel. Some, one of the girls worked at Dollar General until she could get up her money for to be an entrepreneur for herself.
Mm-hmm.
One of the young ladies. The other young lady, she was working at a staffing place until she got up enough money to start her own online wig company.
Awesome.
The other young lady I was talking about that worked at Dollar General, she has a salon.
Wow.
And now that COVID-19 has happened, now she's doing hair and stuff out of her home instead of having, because she had a salon, but because of COVID-19 and she had so many people underneath her, people started saying, I'm not going to do it anymore. So she was like, this is my business. I got to keep it going. So she decided to just do it out of a home.
Mm-hmm.
And she also had a family member build like a shed in her backyard. And so she does it out of the shed instead of out of a home now. She set it up in the back shed, which I thought was ingenious. I was like, you better do it.
Yeah.
I thought it was ingenious.
Exactly.
She's only like 20.
Wow.
I thought it was, no, she's 23. I thought it was ingenious for her to do that.
Absolutely. So you're telling some awesome testimonials and stories in regards to how people were able to transition out of homelessness. But one of the major and most dynamic stories is yours, being the fact that you are an Army veteran.
Yes.
How did you actually, when you're transitioning out of the armed forces and services, can you just explain to us what happened in regards to how you ended up homeless? Were there not services that they were able to assist? Because, of course, we're expecting them, the government, to take care of our veterans.
Well, there's two portions. One portion is I ran into people who took advantage of me.
Mm-hmm.
And because I was in the military, I thought everyone had my mindset. In the military, you're taught to be in a community.
Right.
And you're taught to work together as a team. You're taught to work together as a team, as a community. So I thought that's what was going to happen. And what really happened is, I had a safe with all my information in it because, again, my daughter was 2 years old. And just as a precaution, I went and bought a safe and put all my information in it. And somehow they broke into the safe. I don't know how they got in, but they got in and got my bank account information and just cleaned me out. This is way before the Patriot Act, way before they had all these parameters at the bank. They just cleaned my whole account out.
Wow,
my account consisted of $30,000+ because I had just got out of the military. I had money. I wanted to go ahead and buy a house and do all of this. They was like, because you're a single mom, we're just going to take you in. We're going to help you. We're going to help you get your house and all of this stuff. And I was telling them I didn't tell them how much money I had,
right.
But I was telling them what I wanted to do. And it turns out these were scam artists and they broke into my account. The police did catch up with them.
Okay.
I wasn't the only veteran that they took advantage of. If I'm not mistaken, they're still in prison.
Wow. Okay.
It was a husband and wife team.
Oh my goodness.
And this was back in 99.
Wow.
So it was a husband and wife team and they were on purpose connecting to Army veteran women.
Okay.
Any veteran that was a woman and had children.
Right.
And so I wasn't the only one. And I, at first I felt stupid because I was like, you should know better. But at the same time, you know what I'm saying? You know, if they said they're going to help you and they had an organization set up, it turns out the whole organization was a scam.
Okay. Oh my goodness. Wow.
And yeah, turned out the whole organization was a scam. So that kind of sucked.
So where was your...
So I ended up homeless because $30,000+ was taken out of my bank account. I didn't have any money. I was trying to get this place. I was connected to another church at the time. And they was like, oh, we're going to help you. And they didn't help me. So basically, I ended up sleeping one night at the Greyhound bus station here in Atlanta. And then that one night I was like, Lord, I need some help. I really need some help. I don't know what I'm going to do next. And it turns out the lady, it was best way I can explain it, it was a miracle. Because they said the lady didn't exist at World Changers.
Mm-hmm. So that was a church that you were able to, that was a church you actually were able to connect to. Did you go there or...
This
did you
is
find
my,
a way there?
Well, I didn't go there at the time.
Okay. I mean, like, did you, when you were out that night, did you just say, you know what, I need to find
something
else?
When I was out that night, I was at another church here in Atlanta, and they were known to be a cult.
Okay.
And they basically kicked me out of the church.
Wow, I understand. Oh, wow.
Because I started asking questions.
Right.
And they said they were going to help me, but I started asking questions because stuff didn't seem right.
Right.
And, it turns out that particular pastor was sleeping with the women in the church, and I just felt like something wasn't right. And so I started asking questions, and stuff didn't look right to me. And I was like, no, you can't do this to me. That something ain't right with this.
Right.
So they ended up kicking me out of the church because I started asking questions, and I wasn't supposed to ask no questions.
Mm-hmm.
So that night, me and my daughter at the time, we slept at the Greyhound gas station. And that night, I was looking at Magic City, and I was like, well, Lord, if you don't do nothing in the morning, I'm going to go start stripping.
Right. I was just about to say, for those who don't
know. It was a Saturday morning.
Mm-hmm.
It was a Friday night, but that next morning was a Saturday morning. And this Caucasian lady came up. She had like a beehive hairstyle. It was like a strawberry blonde hair. It was like a beehive hairstyle. And she was, she gave me a card, but it was more like a postcard.
Okay.
And she was like, are you born again? I was like, yes. That's asking if you have salvation and stuff. And I was like, yes, I know Jesus is my Lord and Savior. And she was like, okay. She said, well, what are you doing here? Are you waiting on a bus to leave? And I was like, no, I slept here last night because I'm homeless. So she was like, well, let me take you to my church and we can help you out. And I was like, okay. So she gave me like a postcard with World Changes on it, the address, the phone numbers, Pastor Olive, Pastor Tammy's face was on it. It was like the service times and everything. So what she did was she said she was taking me to the church, but what she did was she took me and my daughter to the grocery store, bought us groceries, and took me to this hotel, she put me and my daughter in this efficiency hotel that had a stove, refrigerator, everything for 3 months, no questions asked. She paid everything.
Wow.
But she was like, we're gonna look forward to seeing you tomorrow morning at church. I said, okay. But she never gave me her name. She drove me in a gray looking Honda Accord. She never told me her name.
Okay.
I didn't know her name. I just knew what she looked like. So I went to the church the very next day with the postcard in my hand, and I said, I came here because a minister, and I was like, I don't remember her name. I said, matter of fact, she never told me her name. I said, she's a Caucasian lady with strawberry blonde hair, and it's in a beehive. And it was like, we don't have any ministers that look like that here. And I was like, you have to.
Wow.
I was like, she took me and my daughter yesterday from the Greyhound bus station, gave us food and everything, and put me, and I was like, but she put me in an efficiency for 3 months, no questions asked. They was like, well, that's awesome, but we don't know that lady.
Wow. Amazing.
And I was like, you got to know this lady. And I just kept standing them down at the information desk. I said, you got to know this lady.
Right.
It was like, no, we have no ministers like that in this church. So I was like, what?
Wow.
I said, you got to know this lady. You got to know her.
Amazing.
And it was like, we don't know her. So needless to say, I stayed in there for 3 months. Mm-hmm. And then I became friends with people at the World Changers and moved in with someone.
Mm-hmm.
And when I moved in with them, I kept moving up. I moved in with them, got a better job.
Okay.
And once I got that better job, I was able to get my own apartment.
Excellent.
And then once I was able to get my own apartment, I was good to go.
Wow.
And I just kept moving up, and I was like, God, I mean it. I'm going to pay this forward because I know what it's like. You sleep on the street. And the funny thing was, at the Greyhound bus station, all those drunks, all those drug dealers, all the drug heads, crackheads, nobody ever messed with me and my daughter on the bench. We slept all night.
Excellent.
Nobody never messed with me.
Wow. Well, we thank you so much, Ms. Renetta Justin, from the Refuge Women's Center. Thank you so much. We appreciate your time. This is Sharon Carson calling, speaking from Upliftment Moves, and we appreciate this, and we thank you, and have a wonderfully blessed day.
You as well.